This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
You're listening to All the Backlist, a weekly show about books that are not new. I'm your host, Patricia LZ Tuttle, and backlist. This is episode number 338 and a half, and today I'm going to talk about a couple backlist titles that I'm excited to share with you. Hi, everyone. I'm pretty sure on this past Tuesday's All the Books, Liberty recommended Notable Native People by Dr. Adrienne Keene, and then the day after we recorded that show, I absolutely just went and bought myself a copy. I have no regrets, though I did visit two bookstores in a single day last weekend, and at the second bookstore I thought to myself, self, maybe I'll try to buy fewer books next year. And then I laughed and laughed because I know that absolutely will not happen. My wife and I have already slowly been doing our holiday gift buying for weeks now. There are some kiddos that we want to buy books for, and I personally do not buy picture books that I have not read myself. So I usually make a list, get what I can from the library, read them, and then make my decisions. Well, last week we read Jenny May is Sad by Tracy Subasak, and also Milo Imagines the World by Matt De La Pena and Christian Robinson. We got them both from the library and immediately came home and curled up on the couch and read them aloud to each other and then burst into tears. Oh my God. Don't get me wrong. They were both really, really good. But geez, are picture books now written by the writer's room at Pixar? So many feelings. Excellent books, though. I'll link them in the show notes. Let's talk about some grown-up books. But before I get to my backlist book picks, let's hear from a sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For my first pick today, I have a book I talked about when it came out last year, and I'm definitely going to talk about it again. It's What We Don't Talk About When We Talk About Fat by Aubrey Gordon, creator of Your Fat Friend and co-host of Maintenance Phase. Maintenance Phase is a podcast with which I am obsessed. Full disclosure, I don't listen to many podcasts, but I have listened to almost every episode of Maintenance Phase. It's brilliant. So good. Like I mentioned, this book was published last year, and I've already read it maybe two or three times. It immediately made it onto my list of nonfiction books that everyone must read, whether you are thin, fat, straight size, or plus size. Everyone, if you are a person with a body, then this book is for you. I do have a number of content warnings for discussion of graphic catcalling and sexual harassment, anti-fatness from microaggressions to outright active aggression, discussion of eating disorders and disordered eating, death related to anti-fatness, use of the word obese, though it is used sparingly and often in quotes. Yes, I'm going to use the word fat as a descriptor because fat is not a bad word. The main focus of this book is on fat justice for very fat people. That is, there are many people who don't even get basic needs met because they are fat. This happens in so many ways, such as the pay gap between fat and straight-sized people, lack of public safety due to anti-fat violence, and denial to public spaces, just to name a few. I want to reiterate that this book is not about wellness, aka repackaged diet culture. It is not about body positivity and loving the body we're in. It is not even really about body neutrality or fat acceptance or body sovereignty. This book is about fat justice, about including the fattest among us in our social justice movements, and about making sure fat people have access to basic things like clothing and travel accommodations. Anti-fatness is the last socially acceptable, and I'm making air quotes right now, way to hate people. Most people are frowned upon for being racist or homophobic, but anti-fatness runs rampant and unchecked. It's fascinating to me that people can acknowledge that medical professionals can be racist, but when presented with the idea that medical professionals can also be anti-fat, all of a sudden everyone is an expert on other people's weight and health. I really appreciate that early in the book the author gives a glossary of terms, because this all can be really new to a lot of people. She talks about what she means when she uses the word fat and the different categories of fat people size-wise. What is healthism? What do people mean when they refer to straight-size clothing? I love how the author goes in-depth about things like, why is BMI a garbage indicator of health? Fun fact, it wasn't even created to be an indicator of health in the first place. And how there is no solid data illustrating that dieting achieves long-term weight loss. In fact, some conditions associated with being fat may actually be long-term effects of dieting. And not gonna lie, I had to set the book down a few times when the author discussed how awful our society is to fat children. My favorite part of this, though, is there are so many citations. As a librarian and a person who loves to argue, I love it, because there are always people who want to argue that being fat is unhealthy. I feel like I should have multiple extra copies on hand just to hand to people when they say that. This book has expanded my mind for sure. I've learned so much from it. It's What We Don't Talk About When We Talk About Fat by Aubrey Gordon. For my second book today, I have Black Sun by Rebecca Roanhorse. Where do I even begin with this book? It is an epic fantasy, many different distinct places and clans of people, a vast, complicated history. You know it's going to be quite an adventure when you open a book and there's a map inside. I will tell you that this is the first book in a trilogy, and the second book doesn't come out until April of 2022. Content warnings for violence. Lots of graphic violence, including violence against women and violence to children. This book has a lot of moving parts. Like I mentioned, lots of characters, lots of locations, and also lots of different points on a timeline. It is not told linear. We start in the Obregi Mountains with a child named Serapio. His mother performs a ritual on him where she carves designs into his chest and body, and also makes him stare at a solar eclipse, purposefully damaging his eyes, then sewing his eyelids shut. She tells him he is a god reborn and that he has a purpose. Later throughout the book, he is given a number of tutors that are supposed to teach him how to do what he is destined to do. Some of the tutors are very abusive. It's brutal. Apparently, he's supposed to live out his destiny in 10 years when there is another solar eclipse, which is referred to as the convergence. So each chapter then places us where on the timeline we are from that initial point of violence that his mother inflicted on him to the actual convergence. For instance, 10 years before convergence, 3 years before convergence, 3 days before convergence, etc. This is helpful because we also jump around a lot to other characters who are slowly woven together. Another character we meet is in the city of Quicola. Her name is Shiala and she is Teak, which is a race of humanoids, I'm going to put that lightly, that humans are very wary of. Her voice can kind of control the ocean. They say that if you kill a teak, their bones are good luck. All teak are women. Shiala is a sea captain who finds herself in a bit of trouble and is rescued by a wealthy patron who hires her to deliver a person to the city of Tova by the day of convergence. This person is Serapio, the reborn god I just told you about. The city of Tova, where they're headed, has a number of clans, some more wealthy and revered than others. They are overseen by the Watchers, who really don't have that much power anymore and are more for show and ritual. The Watchers are made up of multiple priests, the Sun Priest, the Priest of Knives, the Priest of Records, etc. Usually only the upper class people get to be priests, but the Sun Priest was picked from the lowest clan, not even a clan, but considered so low that they are clanless. Her name is Narampa. She has a big ceremony to lead on the day of convergence. This book is so expertly written. It's like there are many moving parts just slowly and sometimes indirectly making their ways to the center of things, which is the convergence. As the characters and timeline get closer to the convergence, it's like the speed of the story builds, the tension builds, the violence and the emotion builds. Reading this book feels like what I imagine falling from a great height would be like. Like skydiving, but you're not quite sure about your parachute situation. It's been a while since I've read a book that has had me so enthralled. I highly recommend Black Sun by Rebecca Roanhorse. Before I end today's show, I want to make sure you all know about Book Riot's newest podcast, Adaptation Nation, all about TV and film adaptations of your favorite books. We read it, we watch it, we talk about it, we dig into new releases, old favorites, underrated gems, and interesting messes, and try to answer that ever-burning question, was the book actually better? And does that question even matter? You can subscribe to Adaptation Nation on your podcatcher of choice. That's it for me this week, book lovers. Thank you so much to our sponsor. A special thank you to my totally awesome audio editor, Jen Zink, and thank you for listening. For more recs or general bookishness, check out bookriot.com, and don't forget to check out our full stable of podcasts at bookriot.com/listen, or just search for Book Riot on your podcast player of choice. You can find a list of the books I mentioned today in the show notes by visiting bookriot.com/allthebooks. Remember, if you're a fan of all the books and all the backlist and you want to show us some love, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. It helps other book lovers find us. If you want to talk about books or nerdy stuff or check in on my shenanigans, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TheInfophile, as in the lover of information, spelled TheInfophile. In the meantime, have a safe weekend, drink some water, and happy reading.